Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Smell Podcast. I'm your host, Katie Boateng. This month, join me in a conversation with my good friend, Frauke Gallia. Frauke is the owner of the Smell Gym, which is the place to exercise your sense of smell. She's the podcast host of An Aromatic Life, which is another excellent podcast all about smell. So if you haven't given that one a listen, go and check it out. She's also the co-author of a children's book called No Place for Plants, which will come out this October. And finally, she's known as the Smell Lady, given just how passionate about all things smell she is. In our interview, we talked about the launch of the Smell Gym, her new book, No Place for Plants, and how you can help support it, and much more. Let's jump in and listen to the interview. Hi, Frauke. Welcome back to the Smell Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm really good, Katie. Thanks so much for having me back.
I'm so excited to chat with you again. It's been quite a while since we spoke. We actually recorded an episode in February of 2020.
I know. It's crazy how time has passed so quickly.
I know, before our global pandemic happened. So it's been a minute. So to get started today, for those of the audience who may not know you, can you start with introductions? Who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, so my name is Frauke Gallia. And I am lots of different things, I would say. I'm a smell coach. I'm an aromatherapist. I am a podcaster like you. And I'm also now most recently the founder of the Smell Gym, which I know we're going to talk about in a minute. But yeah, I'm a lot of different things. I'm also kind of quite often referred to as the smell lady, just because I love having people connect with their sense of smell. Like, it's my mission just to have people think about their sense of smell, which I know is your mission too, hence the smell podcast. But it's really for me all about, yeah, about smell and getting people to really appreciate what this sense does for us, which I know your audience appreciates what it does for us, because many don't have access to it at the moment. So yeah, so it's really about that for me. And I continue to hope to get more and more people to think about it, because we're not a very smell focused society. Let's be clear.
Yeah, I agree. So Frauke, I don't think I've ever asked this of you before, but I'm curious, why is smell so important to you?
It's so important to me because I think I've taken it for granted for a long time, because I should probably mention I spent the majority of my previous career in the fragrance industry. And I kind of just always took it for granted because everyone around me was smelling. You know, I was around a lot of perfumers and just people who were thinking about smelling all day long. And so at that point, I wouldn't say it was that important to me. It was important to me in the sense that it was my work, but it wasn't that important to me. It wasn't until I left and actually met more people in your community, in the anosmia community, hyposmia, just those living with smell dysfunctions, where I recognized that, yeah, smell is really critical to our everyday life. And that's kind of why the message is so important to me about getting people to connect with their sense of smell, whether you can smell or not, because I still think those who don't have access to their sense of smell, I know you and I talk about that occasionally, about having you connect with your memories of being a smeller. So it's really important to me. And it just became more and more important over the years. And certainly COVID played a role in that too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it definitely highlighted for people that you can lose your sense of smell, and for some of those people that it doesn't come back, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like I said in the beginning, it's been over 3 years since we had you on the podcast. So I wanted to know, what have you been up to? And I think you're going to tell us a little bit more about the Smell Gym as well.
Yeah. But I mean, so much happened in the last 3 years, right? I mean, when you and I talked, the world was quote normal. It was just, we were just, you know, going about our business. And then March 2020, everything kind of changed right after you and I talked. And one of the first things that kind of happened for me in that period, and I think that goes along with your previous question of, you know, why smell is so important to me, I started to recognize, oh my gosh, you can actually lose your sense of smell through COVID now, when it became more obvious that, you know, losing your sense of smell was a key indicator of getting COVID. And I reached out, or I somehow I got connected with Fifth Sense. And so that was one of the first things that changed for me, was that I started working with the anosmia community more through Fifth Sense. And like you, I became an ambassador for the organization. And that was really wonderful. I mean, it was when you and I also got to know each other a lot better. And just being able to connect with the anosmia community and see how in some small way I can support those living with smell dysfunctions, because smell training was becoming an increasingly more, I wouldn't say obvious, but through science, it showed that it can help some people, not everybody. And certainly with COVID, it became something you could do at home that didn't require, you know, doctor medical intervention. It just, it's something that you do on your own at home. And so I think for me, that whole thing experience changed a lot for me, because I had a company, still have the company, Falk Aromatherapy. I was focused very much on aromatherapy and with wellness and helping people through essential oils, support their well-being. And so I kind of transitioned more into helping those who can't smell, and, you know, smell training is using essential oils. So kind of connecting the aromatherapy with smell training, but that at the same time, also seeing if I could help people make smell training a habit. So I set up the 21-day Jumpstart Smell Training Program, which I know you've participated in. Yep. And I started doing that a lot more over the last couple of years. It's just trying to get people to make it a habit, because I think it's, as you know, it's incredibly difficult to stay motivated to do it twice a day, every single day, right? I mean, that was your experience, correct?
Yes.
And so that was a big part of my program. I was also doing aromatherapy classes. And what was interesting was that the smelling community also wanted to do smell training. I was like, that's interesting. There were some people who were really interested, who were able to smell, but they're like, I really don't know if my smell is all that keen or that good. And right. I'd like to practice it more. And the only thing I had on offer at the time was that standard protocol that's used in the scientific papers that was started by Dr. Thomas Hummel. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of where I was starting, and what led to the work that I'm doing now, where I started the Smell Gym, which I just started most recently in May. So it's only been, you know, up to 6 weeks or so, and it's pretty fresh. But what I recognized was that there are ways we can train our sense of smell on all different levels of smellability. So it's not just for those who can't smell doing that standard smell protocol, but there are things you can do to build your, quote, smell muscle. That's why I named it a gym, because it is like a muscle, the whole olfactory system, to help everybody along the smell spectrum improve for odor detection, improve for odor identification, which is really important in the standard smell training protocol, but then also odor discrimination as you get further along the smell spectrum and are able to smell, just being able to discriminate between smell, because those are really important cognitive abilities as well. Like, I think what a lot of people don't, you know, forget is that smell health is tied to brain health and cognitive function, especially, you know, memory, language, and just concentration and focus. So there's a lot you can do to help maintain brain health as well when you're trying to improve your smell health.
One question that I have for you about this is objective smell testing. So we talk about the differences between like identification, threshold, discrimination. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on the lack of universal screening for smell issues? I'm curious what you think about that, meaning that we don't test for smell in any regular setting, like we test for vision and hearing. What do you think about that?
Oh, I think it's terrible. And I absolutely think we need to have it. And I'm so glad that you through Stana are trying, and I think Monell, right, working in conjunction with Monell, trying to really encourage doctors to start at an early age in a child's development cycle. I mean, you have a small child. I have two mm-hmm. boys. Never once was anybody tested for their sense of smell. Not right. once throughout the process. My children are now in their 20s. Not in their 20 years have they ever been asked to evaluate their sense of smell. Now, of course, their mother checks in periodically because that's what I do. But right. I think it's so important. So absolutely important. I think it's not only important at the beginning of a person's life, but also at the end of a person's life.
Especially at the end.
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning too, but especially, I guess, both. Because the work that the Michael J. Fox Foundation is also doing now, the smell test, which I know you're promoting and that I'm trying to promote. I actually had my mom do it.
Oh, great.
Because
you're talking about the Michael J. Fox Foundation study called PPMI. The PPMI study is testing for the links between the ability to smell and brain health, like you're talking about.
Yes, exactly. And what was interesting, I had my mother do it and submit it, but they didn't require her to submit the test packets that she had to use. So I asked her to send it to me because I was just curious to see what she could recognize versus when I smelled it. Granted, it's, you know, once you scratch and sniff, some of the smell goes away. So, but you could still get an idea of what it was they were testing for. And it was kind of interesting to see what she couldn't smell so well anymore versus what she could. And I just think it's really important, and I encourage anybody over the age, I believe it's over the age of 65, if I'm not mistaken, to, you know, go out there and just do it to help research and help yourself, because I think they're going to check in with the people along the way.
So I'd love to learn more about the Smell Gym. So this is a new endeavor that you're working on. It's for people who have smell dysfunction, but as you mentioned before, it's also for people who have a functioning sense of smell. So how can people learn more about the Smell Gym online? And what are you doing? Like, what are you doing with people?
Yeah. So the Smell Gym is the place to exercise your sense of smell. Think of it like a gym that you would go to exercise your body. In this case, you're exercising your olfactory system. And it's for every level of smellability, whether you can smell or you can't. So that was really important to me and it came based on a need I saw that, you know, like I mentioned, that people who can smell were also interested in improving their sense of smell. So, and also to more directly talk to the anosmia and hyposmia community, even parosmia, because they are encouraged to do smell training as well. But this isn't a place to just do the training that you would do at home. So my whole thing is to bring in elements of health and wellness into these 1 hour classes. These are online classes through Zoom, and to spend a moment connecting with your sense of smell. You can't smell, and kind of going back into a place of being a smeller. We do visualization exercises, as I know, Katie, you've done. And you found those helpful, right?
Absolutely, I have. And I've done the program myself as an early beta tester, and then actually took a class as well. And I would highly recommend that you all check it out. I think the thing that is the most useful for me mm-hmm. is that mindfulness aspect. Because if I'm sitting here at home and I want to get out my smell training kit, I'm going to start thinking about my grocery list. And like, I think I have undiagnosed ADHD, where sometimes I'll be all of a sudden like cleaning the oven. And I'm like, wait a second, what was I doing? isn't it if you give a mouse a cookie, right? So like, I'll be doing one thing and I'll end up over there, like cleaning the garage. So I think that the program is really great for me. When I did it as a beta tester and then an actual class, to know like, okay, you're going to sit and be still and be mindful and really focus and like tune out the list, right. Tune out the tasks. I find that it was useful for that.
It's a chance for you to spend an hour with others who are also in the same situation as you. And yeah, think about your sense of smell. And what I don't want to do is just We focus on the first two of the three pillars of smell health. So smell health is odor detection, odor identification, and odor discrimination. Those are the three pillars. And when you don't have the ability to smell, you focus on odor detection first and foremost, and eventually odor identification when you can start to identify a little, some smells here and there. So it's really important that you also have the opportunity to try different exercises beyond that standard, just sitting there and for 20 seconds, smell one scent and then go to the next scent. And, you know, it's very boring and basic. And the smell gym is meant to give you other options and to have you consider other exercises that might supplement your everyday smell training, which hopefully you're doing. So.
And I know that this, we've already discussed this just recently, but just to kind of reiterate and hammer home the point, the smell gym is also available for people who can smell. So this isn't just for those who have dysfunction. This is for anyone, and they can go and participate and improve whatever level of their current sense of smell they have.
Right, right. And for those of you who might be listening who are able to smell, I have a free resource on my website, smellgym.com, that lets you just at home evaluate. It's not a clinical diagnosis of what your ability to smell is. I always encourage everybody to go to the doctor, obviously, and get clinically tested. But if you're just curious and you kind of want to get a sense for how well can I, you know, identify smells or tell smells apart, or, you know, the, or even just have more odor awareness, there's a free guide there that lets you test that at home. So that's something that you might want to consider doing. For those who can't smell or have weak ability to smell, I've got lots of other resources on my, on this website. You know, there's also a YouTube channel. So you can also, if you've never done smell training, you can just go on YouTube and learn about that, how to do smell training, how to set up your kit, how to, what scents to consider. Yeah. So lots of resources available.
That's wonderful. So I want to shift gears now and talk about this other project that you've also been working on. So I've heard that you're working on creating a book, which is called No Place for Plants. So can you tell us a little bit more about your book, No Place for Plants? What is it about and what inspired you to write this book with your co-author?
Yeah. So Kelly Ablard and I, we're colleagues in the aromatherapy field, and she is heavily involved in plant conservation. And I also, as an aromatherapist, work with essential oils that come from plants, right? And then, but my whole thing is, it's all about smelling. So she and I, for a long time, were talking 3 years ago, I think, we were talking about what could we do to get children to connect more with their sense of smell, and at the same time, help connect with nature, because children are not connecting with nature a lot either. Let's be clear. We're spending a lot more time indoors, and, or there's more urbanization. So kids aren't even around nature, don't have access to it. And so we thought about creating this children's book that would connect those two things, which are seemingly not connected. You think, what is smelling and plants? Yeah, they're connected, but what do they have to do with children? And in fact, they have a lot to do with each other, because children are naturally curious and they want to check out the world around them. You know that. You have a small child. You know they're always touching things or looking at things. But if we can get them to also smell things, you know, they're in the moment. And plants, especially aromatic plants, things that smell, they have a lot to tell us. So it's a wonderful opportunity to get children connected with nature, with plants, through smelling, and hopefully they'll become ambassadors of the natural world. I mean, we need all the support we can get for future generations to want to conserve and sustain plants throughout the world.
Yeah, absolutely. So for myself, we have a son, and he's a little bit over 2 years old. And the other day I came across this article online, and it was talking about this issue exactly, how there's very little free play for children. So everything is super structured within their lives these days. And like
the parents are basically all involved with them from like the moment that they wake up until the moment that they go to bed, and that we don't really let them be free to just go outside and do stuff unsupervised. So I was thinking back on that and I thought to myself, that's 100% true. My son is too little now to probably be left outside by himself, but I cannot imagine just allowing him to go outside and play by himself like I did when I was little. And I'm not, I mean, I was born in 1989 and I grew up in the 90s. So, but my childhood was literally like, go outside and don't come back until it's dinner. And you have like a 5-block radius that you're allowed to be in, but I have very vivid memories from my childhood of going out, and I lived in like a desert area of Southern Idaho, and we would go out into literally the field and the dirt, and it's a desert, and just play and like sagebrush and mud and toads and lizards, like all of that stuff. And I cannot imagine allowing Kwame to do that now unsupervised. Like I would be following him around wherever he goes. And I don't know how that shift happened so quickly, because that we're talking about one generation, right? Like
I know,
it's up in the 90s.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And I was recently just thinking about the school curriculums too. There's the school curriculums are always encouraging children to draw. There's a lot of visual exercises. There's a lot of music and, you know, be in a band, do like play an instrument, sing. There's, you know, so there's oral things, even touch, you know, they're working with clay and things like that. Nobody is ever doing a curriculum around smell. That's just true. Nothing. There's nothing being encouraged to use that sense of smell. So,
well, I can remember there's only one situation since I became anosmic. It was my first year of college. And I think my second year of college, I was in a chemistry class, like an introduction to chemistry class. And at one point during a lab experiment, I think we were supposed to smell the substances and then write them down. So I just had to like approach my professor and explain, like, I don't have a functioning sense of smell, which he didn't, like, he was like, what? So confused. And I was like, I can't do this part of the assignment. So he's like, well, your lab partner can like, just tell you what it smells like. And I was like, great. But to your point, there was only one situation in my 5 years of undergraduate and 3 years of grad school where I was asked to smell something.
And look at how late that was in your life.
Yeah.
So if that would start in grade school and elementary school, then as another way of checking to see how a child's sense of smell is, whether they have a sense of smell, whether there are clues that is telling adults, wait, maybe we should get this checked out, right? If only teachers would just engage children with their sense of smell so we could find that out as well.
Absolutely. Well, back to No Place for Plants. How can people support this project?
Yeah, so I should probably also say what it's about. I'm sorry, I didn't mention what the book was about. Okay, I got so excited about why we were doing it.
But we got distracted by me being a helicopter mom.
No. Let me just tell you. So it's about a Native American girl. Her name is Puku, and she's on a mission to save her community garden from becoming a parking garage, because it's oh so common to have many, many parking garages these days because we're all in our cars. So she's trying to save her community garden, and she lives in LA. So it's kind of a sprawling urban environment and trying to save natural spaces there. So just thought I'd mention that before we get going. But the Kickstarter campaign, the reason we even started a Kickstarter campaign is because it's quite expensive to publish a book. And we didn't go the traditional publishing route because it takes 3 to 5 years. You don't have as much creative control, and we really wanted to have that control. We have a wonderful illustrator that we're working with, and we wanted to be able to choose our illustrator to get our idea across and our story across. So anyway, so we went the Kickstarter route, and it's a really long URL, so I will share.
Yeah, absolutely. Share that link.
I'll share the link and we can put it in the show notes so that it's quite a long URL, but the campaign runs through August 12th. And it's really just so we can pay our illustrator and get and just get the book published, the first round. So just the basic things you need to get the book published, and that includes getting an illustrator to bring our story to life.
I've seen the illustrations on the Kickstarter campaign, and she's so cute.
Yeah,
she's a turtle. I like the turtle.
Oh yes, yeah, so there's three main characters. I mean, it's mostly Puku who's the main character. She's an 8-year-old girl, but she's guided by her grandmother, and which is really important for cultural sustainability. Just ideas being transmitted from, you know, generation to generation. And the turtle is also Par. So these are Native American names. We felt those were, because the Native American culture is so, I mean, they know what to do. And I think we have a lot that we can learn from Native American ways of preserving the natural world. So yeah. So I think what you're going to notice is Par also play this turtle, it's tortoise, actually, desert tortoise from LA. And he has his own little sub story just through the illustrations. So the kids have lots of different touch points, and we hope that the child will engage with the adult reader, and that the adult can also kind of go, oh yeah, like, what are the plants that we have around us? You know, what do they smell like? So like, the idea is to also get the adult and the child alike to have a conversation about things, about scent memories. Maybe there'll be prompts for that. So there's lots of different touch points to get the adult and the child to have conversations, then hopefully go outside right afterwards and explore. The book is going to be published, assuming we meet our goal, in October. So it's not that far away. So from the moment you pledge to when the book will be published, it'll be in October.
So. That's wonderful. So Frauke, I know you've been busy starting a new campaign, the gym, and starting this whole book project, but what's next for you and your company?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the Smell Gym, it's just getting started. Invite everyone to just come explore on the website a little bit. It's smellgym.com. I also do personal coaching. So if you feel like you have a more individual need, I'm happy to work with you one-on-one. If you live here in the San Francisco Bay Area where I live, I also am doing in-person events, which is a lot of fun.
Oh, great.
So it's not only online. I mean, I recognize that Zoom isn't the most fun way, but it's a way for a broader audience to connect with the Smell Gym. So it serves a purpose.
And can you remind everyone, where can they find your website and where can they find you on social media?
Yeah. So you can go to smellgym.com and go to the website there. On social media, we're on Instagram at Smell Gym. On Facebook at Smell Gym. Just joined Threads this weekend, which is, I don't understand it yet. Haven't even posted yet, but by the time this episode comes out, hopefully I'll have, you know,
I'm in the same boat. I downloaded it for Stana. Don't know what I'm doing. I just said hello to everyone, but that's about where we're at.
That's all I've done as well. So we'll get there. And also the YouTube channel. I have couple of videos there now. I am planning on, you know, publishing new videos, a lot of how-to exercises you can do, you know, just questions you might have. So YouTube, it's Smell Gym as well. So pretty easy to find me everywhere.
That's wonderful. Do you have any last thoughts to add?
I just wanted to say, as someone who is able to smell, for me personally, I've learned so much from the anosmia community and from the community that lives with smell dysfunction. And although I cannot personally understand it because I have not lost my sense of smell, I just want you to know that my whole goal is to support you in any way I can, so that the smelling community has awareness for what you're going through, starts to have understanding for what you're going through, and hopefully it can just be an empathetic support for you in any way possible. That's really my goal, is to just bridge that gap between the smeller and the non-smeller. And I just want you to know you have an advocate in me, so.
Thank you. I mean, it's always wonderful to come across people like you who are aware of the effects that not having a functioning sense of smell can have for a person. And I feel like even though you aren't directly impacted by it yourself, you really get it, which is rare. And so thank you for being that person.
Thanks.
So, Rock, I just want to say thanks for coming on the podcast. It's great to have you back after our 3-year break from each other. I want to make sure everyone goes to Frauke's websites and social media links, and especially make sure you visit the Smell Gym and the Kickstarter campaign to support the book.
Thanks so much for having me, Katie.
Yeah, thank you for joining today.
Thank you to Frauke for joining me and sharing more with us about what she's been up to and her future projects. Don't forget to check out her website and all of her different social media pages. Thank you for listening to the podcast. I hope that you've enjoyed it. The goal of the show is for you to know that you're not alone. And if you found it helpful in any way, please consider sharing it with another person. Thanks for your continued support. And until next time, I hope you have a wonderful day.